Okay. So the talk, the shir, of course, is in memory of my mother, Yehudit Reza Bat Rav Eliezer and Esther. And the topic I want to discuss is the nature of the mitzvah of Mora Aveim. The pasuk tells us, the first source on the sheet, Ishi Mova Avtirao, Veshavzatai Tishmoro, Ani Hashem. We'll read it in a week or so. Parsha Kedoshim, the mitzvah of Mora Aveim. So while we're all familiar with the concept of Kibud Aveim, the mitzvah of honoring a parent, there is also a twin mitzvah, the mitzvah of fearing a parent. And I want to discuss the nature of this mitzvah of fearing a parent. The Gemara in Kiddushin Avlamid, the second source, reads as follows: Tanu Rabbanan, Ne'amar kaved v'icha v'timecha, v'ne'amar kaved Hashem yihoncha. There's a mitzvah to honor a parent and to honor God. Hishva katuv kvod av ve'em lechvod hamakom she'ne'amar ishimov. So it's a fascinating idea. Hishva katuv kibud av ve'em lechvod hamakom. That God, as it were, equates honoring a parent with honoring God himself. V'ne'amar hashem hishva katuv. So the Gemara here equates both kavod of a parent to kavod of God, and likewise fear of a parent to fear of Hashem. And the Rambam interestingly codifies this. The Rambam usually only brings down halachas. The Rambam usually doesn't bring stam drashot, but the Rambam begins as follows: Kibud aveim mitzvah aseh gedolah. The honoring a parent is a great mitzvah. V'chein mora aveim, and likewise mora aveim is a great mitzvah. Shikel otan hakatuv v'chvod v'mora'o. God equates honoring a parent and fearing a parent with honoring God and fearing God. And he quotes the more. He's obviously emphasizing the importance of this mitzvah. It's a mitzvah taseh gedolah. It's a great mitzvah. And from the implication, you know, from the Gemara, from the Rambam, is that mora ve'em is a mitzvah, which, why shouldn't it be? We would think it would be a mitzvah like any other mitzvah. But the truth is, there are mitzvot aseh that aren't actually mitzvot. They're kind of lot aseh in disguise. So the classic mitzvot aseh is a person who has a mitzvah to eat matzah, to take a lulav, to hear shofar, etc. But sometimes the Torah tells us not to do something in a aseh language. So for example, we just celebrated Pesach. On Erev Pesach, there's a mitzvah to get rid of your chametz. Tashbitu se'or mibateichem. According to many Rishonim, there's no iser to own chametz, iser of bal yirah, bal yimatzeh, on Erev Pesach. The iser to own chametz, the lav, exists only on Pesach itself. On Erev Pesach, it's a bittul aseh. There's a mitzvah to destroy the chametz, tashbitu se'or mibateichem. Person who fails to destroy the chametz violates what's known as an iser aseh. It's a lav that's formulated in an aseh terminology. Or likewise, on Erev Pesach, we shechtu korban Pesach. And the mitzvah is to eat it at night. A person who, you know, is very hungry, eats it before the evening, eats it Pesach, Erev Pesach afternoon, violates the aseh of eating the Pesach at night. There's no lav to eat the korban at that point. It's known as an iser aseh. So while I think the simple understanding is that the mitzvah of mora aveim is a kiyum mitzvah, there's a positive aspect, a kiyum mitzvah to it, there is an understanding that I'm going to discuss in a minute that essentially understands this mitzvah as being a isra'se. So if you look here at the next source, the Gemara. Yes. So an isra'se is essentially a lotase formulated in the positive. The Torah wants us to get rid of the chametz on Erev Pesach, and a person who fails to get rid of the chametz essentially violates the aseh of tashbitu, or for that matter, on Shabbat. Right. Okay. So for kosher, thank you. A person who eats non-kosher violates the iser of eating non-kosher, and also is mevatel aseh of kol of you know. It's a bittul, yeah. Right. I mean, for that matter, in the mitzvah of Shabbos, there's a los aseh of doing malacha on Shabbos, But a person who does melacha on Shabbos also violates the say of Shabbaton. Shabbaton means you should make Shabbos a day of rest. If you do melacha, you violate otasikol melacha, and you also violate the assay of Shabbaton. So the question is, how do you look at the mitzvah here of mora avim? Is it a mitzvah assay, a regular mitzvah assay, or is it really an isra assay? So if you look at the Gemara in Kedushin of Lamed Aleph and Bet, the Gemara quotes explains what mora is. It gives some examples. Tana Rabbanan is a mora, source number four, bezu kavod. Mora lo omid makoma, you don't stand in their place. Lo yoshev makoma, you don't sit in their place. Lo soter dvarav, velo machrio, you don't argue, you can't even agree in certain circumstances. Kivud machi lo mashke malbishu mechase machni sumotzi. So the examples of kivud are acts of service. Machi lo mashke, you're talking about parents who are elderly. Malbishu mechase machni sumotzi. The assay of mora is there's nothing to do. You don't argue, you don't sit in their seat, you don't do this, you don't do that. So the simple understanding one could conclude from this Gemara is that in fact Mora is not a mitzvah. It's not a positive mitzvah. It's just something you shouldn't do. You shouldn't argue with your parents. You shouldn't sit in their seat. Exactly. Don't be disrespectful. Mora might be the bittul of kavod. And in fact, some of the Mefarshim understand that way. Again, I don't think it's a mainstream understanding, but it's certainly a group of Rishonim and Acharonim have understood that way. So the Korban Aaron is a Moroccan, early Achron. He wrote a parish in the Sifra. He writes the following: Ukfi geder hamore damridan lekaman shu minia miasot tvarim neged kvodo teshev mekomo lo tistor tvarav. What is mora? Mora is all negative. Don't be disrespectful. So you're not actually asked to do anything. You're asked not to do something, not to be disrespectful. And Rabbeinu Yohanan ben Uliel takes this one step further. Rabbeinu Yohanan ben Uliel, one of the Rishonim, contemporary of the Rambam, there's a lot of correspondence between them. He's southern France, Chachmei Provence. So he actually refers to the mitzvah of mora ve'eim as a lotase, says the Rabbeinu Yonasan, umitzvos kivud aveim mitzvah tase she einas magrama. The kavod is a mitzvah tase. Vechanashim chayavim. Both men and women are obligated. Kol shekein mora aveim shehein belotase. The nashim chayavod. He says the mora aveim is a lotase. Now it's not really a lotase. There's no source in the Torah that says don't disrespect your parents. It just says you should fear your parents. He apparently understood this as a isra asei. It's like a lotase. Don't be disrespectful. The mitzvah is not a kiyum. The mitzvah is just a lotase formulated in an essay language. It was known, as I mentioned before, as an isra asei. And likewise, Tohafot Re'eim, who wrote a commentary in the Yireim. The Yireim is one of the Balei Tosfot, Rabbi Eliezer Mimetz. And the classic edition of the Yireim has the Perush of the Tohafot Re'eim, written about 150 years ago in Vilna. And he points out that it's interesting that the Yireim counts the mitzvah of Mora before Kavod. In the Psukim, Kavod appears in Yitro, in the Sereta Dibrot, and Mora appears only in Vayikra, in Parsha Kedoshim. So you would have thought, claims the Tofot Re'eim, that maybe you should count Kavod before Mora. And yet, the Yireim counts Mora first. So explains the Tofot Yireim, Re'im, source number 7. V'lidnir ad haitamam yishum de kavod hu bekum ve'ese kegon machi u'mashke. Kavod is something you're actively supposed to do. You're supposed to honor your parents. Do an action. U'mora hu belotase. Mora is, again, the same language. It's lotase. Tehainu shelo yeshev makomo lo yidaber u'mikre mele hu betelim. The pasuk doesn't tell him. Sur meira vase tov. L'chein gam ha'yireim hikti mora l'kavod. So why does the Yireim bring mora first? Says the Tofot Re'eim that Mora is essentially Sheva Tase, it's a Lotase, don't be disrespectful. And therefore, that is the base level. First, don't be respectful, and then disrespectful, and then you're able to be respectful in a positive way. So, sure. No, it's great. Interesting. So you're raising this, the famous story with, Hillel, who the Ger came to him, and Hillel said to him, the whole Torah can be encapsulated into this idea of not, doing something that you wouldn't like to others, that you wouldn't like done to yourself. So you're pointing out that you think it's easier to do no harm. It's harder to act positively. Interesting. Right, it's interesting. Yeah, the mitzvah adam chaver are always complicated in terms of what, how it's going to be accepted and how it's going to be. You try to do something nice and it doesn't always turn out that way. Sometimes people put in 100%, and it doesn't always work out that way. Not doing harm might be sometimes easier. I see there's a chat here from Josh. Why does the Rambam count mora and kivur as separate mitzvot, but only count kivur for parents? Oh, so that, we're going to actually get to that issue of minyan mitzvahs soon. It's an interesting hara. Okay, so just to summarize, we have here two understandings. The mainstream understanding is that this is a positive mitzvah, and the secondary understanding, which I think is a minority opinion, but it certainly exists, is that the mitzvah of mor v'aim is essentially what not to do. It's not a kiyum mitzvah; it's really an iser of being disrespectful. So I want to discuss a couple of nafkaminas to this question. The first is whether or not the feeling of awe or reverence is part of the mitzvah. So if you look at the Sefer Charedim, again, early Achron lived in Tzfat, he has a Sefer Mitzvos, and he counts the mitzvah of fearing a parent, and he describes the following. So some interesting. But if you understand that this is really an Isser essay, then it might very well be that there's no need to actually have a sense of awe or reverence. There is a sefer called Chidushei Reb Reuven, written by Reb Reuven Grozovsky. He was the son-in-law of the Rebbe Achbar Leibowitz. He escaped from the war, and he got to New York, and he became the Rosh Hashiva of the Torah V'Das Yeshiva. So he has Chidushim on Shas, and in the Maseches Yevamos on Siman Hey, he argues that really Mor Av'Eim is an Isser essay. And he wants to make a diuk in the Chinuch to that effect. The Chinuch writes, source number 9, Lira me avos, you should fear your parents. You should act in a way that you act in a way that you would for somebody that you would fear. So if a person would fear a king, so you'd act respectfully. Likewise, you have to ask, you can't act disrespectfully. And he contrasts that to the mitzvah of Yirat Hashem. Where the Chinuch writes, "Liot yareh Hashem apaneinu," we should have fear of God. Tamid loti nechta, kolomar shenireh biat on shavloyeh levavenu v'li magor ilav kol hayom v'zeh ne'amar et Hashem lekach atira. So he argues. He has a number of rayas. The truth is, I don't find it so convincing. Again, what's his raya? His raya is that the Chinuch, when it comes to the mitzvah of fearing parents, he doesn't say there's a mitzvah to fear them, and he doesn't describe it. He just says and act a certain way. He doesn't actually point out that this is a kiyum shebelev, and that's in contrast to the chinuch, where he seems to understand it as a kiyum shebelev, the chinuch by mora shamayim. Like I said, I don't think it's so convincing. The chinuch is actually following the lesson of the Rambam, and the Rambam also, I'm not sure why, but the Rambam also, when it comes to parents, says you should fear parents, and then he says you should act a certain way. He doesn't speak about, doesn't develop the idea of the inner emotions. And yet, it's clear in the Rambam, like I pointed out earlier, that this is a positive mitzvah. This isn't just an iser essay. So I'm not so convinced from this raya for the chinuch. He has other rayas addressed in the Tosfos that way. But certainly, this would be an afkamina to this question. Namely, if the mitzvah is a kiyum, then we can begin talking about how a person relates, with reverence. Whereas, if the mitzvah is one of an iser essay, l'chora, how you feel is not really relevant. The question is how you act. Are you acting in a respectful way, or are you acting disrespectfully? The iser is to act disrespectfully, but there's no actual kiyum mitzvah. The second nafkamina that I have here on the sheet is the question of bracha. we know that there are many mitzvot that we say a bracha on, like lulav, blow shofar. There are also many mitzvot that we don't take a bracha, we don't recite a bracha. And there's only we're all bothered why we don't say a bracha on certain mitzvot. So the Rashba has a famous tshuva in Chelek Aleph, Simin Yudchet, where he quotes Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat, one of the Rishonim, who had a whole explanation to why certain mitzvot don't have brachas, you know, associated with them. And he writes the following, source number 11, V'kev in the Amra lo ba'ina la hana ayakir le mitzvot esay shabahem. The Rabbi Yosef Ibn Palat explains that some mitzvahs can be uprooted. V'gamrina minei l'mora v'chavar av. So just like basically, more of a kavod av is a function of the parent's will. If the parent isn't interested in the cup of coffee, so there's no mitzvah to bring him or her the coffee. So Mimela, Rav Yosef Ibn Palat argues, you can't say a bracha, Sheikh Yishanu, Yisavis Yivanu, you know, al kivod av aim, or al mora av aim, because the mitzvah can be disintegrated by will of the parent in a moment. So he seems to be bothered why there's no bracha on mora and kavod, right? Mora and kavod, and yet he explains that this is a mitzvah that can be, disintegrated by the mere whim of the parent, and therefore there's no bracha to be recited. Now it's interesting if you contrast this to Orzarua, Rav Yitzchak Mivina, one of the later Chachmei Ashkenaz, Rishonei Ashkenaz. He discusses the same question. So he says, "Bikur cholim techun evelin. How can you say a bracha when you visit the sick, when you pay a shiva call, the tztaka, for as meisim, chalitza, yibum, mekimah, vehidur, vekivu davim?" And he gives an explanation for all these mitzvot. What he doesn't discuss is why there's no mitzvah of moravim. So in contrast to the Rav Yosef Ibn Milat, who was bothered why there's no bracha on mora, the Orzarua was bothered by many mitzvot. He was bothered by kavod. How come there's no bracha on kavod? He wasn't bothered by why there's no bracha on mora. So I thought to suggest that maybe the Orzarua understands the mitzvah as an Isser essay. There's no bracha recited on Isser essay. Bracha is only recited on a mitzvah's essay. So if that's the case, maybe the Orzarua didn't feel a need to explain why there's no bracha on Mora, because he understood that the mitzvah of Mora is really an Isser essay. Again, speculation. I have no real proof for this, but I think it's a possible suggestion to explain why he wasn't bothered why there's no bracha on Mora Ave. Another issue that might be relevant is the question of Mora by other people who aren't a parent per se. We know that the mitzvah of Kivat Ave'im, according to Chazal, extends, at least on a Drabanan level, maybe even on a directed level, to other people. So a person's older sibling, older brother, a person has a step-parent, in-laws, and the like. So if you look in the Mefarshim, some of them point out that the expansion to Kivat Ave'im applies to Kavod, but not to Mora. So for example, here, source number 13, the Beis Meir, writes, V'achiv ha'gadol l'nisraba elo mitzvah kavod v'lo l'mora. The mitzvah of honoring a parent can be expanded to an older brother, but not mora. There's no din of mora by an older brother. And likewise, the Shut B'Tzel HaChochma was written by Rav Tzal Stern. He survived the Holocaust and then he moved to Australia. So he called his sefer B'Tzel HaChochma, both because his name was Bezalel, and also because he was on the other side of the world. If all the Chochma was in Europe, so he now is on the other side of the world. He had a younger brother, Rav Moshe Stern, who was the Rav of Debrecen before the war. That's where my mother was born. And he continued serving there after the war. And then eventually ended up in New York. He was one of the great postkim of the 20th century, Rav Moshe Stern. He wrote the Be'er Moshe. In any case, Rav Tzal Stern, his older brother writes, "Omnam de kushta de milta lanir daiti de gam lagavi eshet aviv ein kan mitzvah mora." He's talking about a step parent, so he says you have to honor a step parent, but there's no mitzvah of mora by a step parent. The dafka linin kavod merbinanu. We only the riboy of a step parent only applies to kavod, not to mora. And likewise, the brit olam written by the chida, he applies the mitzvah of kavod to in-laws. There's no concept of mora by in-laws, there's only a concept of kavod. So there are others who discuss this issue, but the point I think is worthwhile making is that if I assume that the mitzvah of mora is essentially not to be disrespectful, it wouldn't make sense to limit these applications. What do you mean? You can be disrespectful to your mother-in-law? Certainly not. If it's a function of a new kiyum, there's a kiyum of kavod. There's another kiyum of mora. So it could be the kiyum of mora doesn't apply to these people who aren't parents mamish. They're just the satellite parents, if you will, an older brother, parent-in-law, in-laws, v'chule. So I think that it makes more sense to limit the application of mora to these individuals if you assume mora is a kiyum mitzvah. If mora is just an isra say, not to be disrespectful, it wouldn't make very much sense to say that you have a mitzvah to honor your in-laws, but you could be disrespectful. That just wouldn't make sense. Josh, I see you raise your hand. Yeah, I do agree that it is a technical in terms of how it's formulated. I'm just saying, would it make sense to say that you have a mitzvah to honor your step parents, but you can still be disrespectful to them? I just want to make sense logically. So it's true technically when it comes from a limud, but I think you have to understand that he assumes that all these mafarshim assume that there's a kiyum mitzvah. If it was a iser essay, it just wouldn't make sense to do that, even though it's technical. Okay, interesting. Okay, thank you for that important tahara. Next off, Kamina, the question of kfiya. Kfiya is a little harder for us to relate to, in our day and age. It doesn't sit well with our modern sensibilities. But there is a concept of kfiya al mitzvot, which essentially means a person, is going to, this person is going to eat chazer, so you let him eat chazer, then you take him to court, and he's punished in court. But when a person is not going to do a mitzvah, he's not going to take a lulav, so you can't take him to court. There's nothing to do in court. So there's a concept of encouraging him to do the mitzvah. So if you look at the Gemara here in Ksuvas, Peivav, So essentially, the Gemara tells us that a person who fails to do a mitzvah essay, you can encourage them. Encourage them, even physically, to force them to do the mitzvah. Again, like I said, it doesn't sit so well with us, but that's the concept of kofin al mitzvahs. The question becomes, there are many limitations to this. We don't always do this. So, for example, the Gemara tells us you don't force on a mitzvah's essay, shamatan schar b'tzida. The mitzvah's essay has the reward mentioned in the Torah. So you're not going to force somebody because they can say, I don't want the reward. So when it comes to kivud aveim, it says, Aman yarichun yamecha. So many assume there's no kfi on kivud aveim. You can't force somebody to honor their parents because, listen, it says, Aman yarichun yamecha. He doesn't want it. He can give it up. But what about kfiya on mora? So if you look at the Maharam Mintz, or Moshe Mintz, the 15th century of Germany, he assumes there is kfiya on mora. We're talking about a very complicated case where they're talking about a shidduch of a grandchild, and there's a debate between the grandparents and the parents about the shidduch for the grandchild. It's always better to have healthy boundaries, not to get involved in other people's shidduchim. But there was a situation where there was a whole family feud about this. And the question was, should the parents listen to their parents, to the grandparents, about this shidduch issue? So he says, So the Moshe Mintz assumes that even though we don't force a person to kavod aveim, you do force them to revere their parents. The makinoto, the aminan asei suka olulav eino osa makinoto ashtesa nafsha. But others disagree. They say that there is no concept of kfiya on Mora Aveim. So, for example, the Kli Chemda, Rav Meir Dan Plotsky, one of the great Polish Lamdonim, about 100 years ago, writes, Hine nirev divrei ha-medrash shemitzvas kivud av v'yirat av mitzvah achad. He argues, interestingly, that there's these two mitzvot are, you know, two sides of the same coin. V'achad mashlima l'chavirta. They somehow join together. Umora nichlav v'chal kivur. Actually, two formulations here. The second formulation is that the mora is part of kavur. The earlier part of the sentence sounds like they're equal partners. In any case, he says v'nafkamina degam mora hu mitzvas esei shematan schar b'tzida. He says an amazing thing. It doesn't say in the Torah you should fear your parents l'man yirichun yamecha. It says you should honor your parents l'man yirichun yamecha. But the Kli Chemda argues that the concept of matan schar b'tzida that applies to kavur applies equally to mora. And therefore, she'ein beisin kofin aleha, beisin can't force an individual to fear their parents, to act in a way that shows mora, because this is considered a mitzvah essay, shematan schar b'tzida, even though the pasuk never explicitly gives a schar for the mitzvah of mora. So we have essentially a debate here between the Ma'ariv Mintz and the Kli Chemda as to whether or not the concept of kfiya, are you able to force a child to fulfill the mitzvah of Mora Aveim. So it's an interesting debate. I thought to connect it to the Chakira I began with. Because if the mitzvah of Mora Aveim is a key mitzvah, then there's what to talk about. You know, should you force, shouldn't you force? But if it's just an Isser essay, it's hard to imagine you're allowed to force the child. As the Pirion Shlomo points out, the Pirion Shlomo, it's actually the first time I used the Sefer, it was written about 100, 150 years ago. I couldn't find that much about him. His name was Shlomo Zalman Rom. Rom is, of course, a very important family name. The Rom Press, you know, in Vilna. This was actually printed in Warsaw. And you know, when I looked at the Haskamas to see, you know, who he was, where he's from, the only thing was a short Hakdama that he wrote, and he's explaining why he didn't ask for any Haskamas. And he writes there that, you know, everybody knows today that the Haskamas aren't worth the paper they're printed on, so I'm not going to bother getting Haskamas, but I'll just tell you that I discussed these issues with my teachers, and they thought that I had good ideas, so that's why I'm printing the book. So it's just interesting, you know, it was a little before his time. Today, that's also known, that Haskamas aren't really, you know, what they're all made out to be. But anyway, the Pirion Shlomo, or Shlomo Zalman Ram, writes that it's obvious that there's no kfiya on an Isser essay. It says here, the concept of kfiya, forcing, only applies to Mrs. essay. If there's a kiyum, so we say, force the person to do the mitzvah, it's in his best interest. But Mrs. essay, the shvita shabbat, Shvita Shabbat is a mitzvah's essay that is a essentially an Isser essay. Given the mitzvah's essay, he b'shev al taseh, shuv he b'tar mitzvah osaseh she'en barak hashmira v'yasot tara v'eni ha'adon l'chein dina ki mitzvah osaseh she'en mamisin oso ad she'yaseh v'yavu l'beis din l'duno alaveira osaseh. So the Pirion Shlomo argues that the concept of kfiyan mitzvah only applies to mitzvah's essay, classic mitzvah's essay, but not to an Isser essay. And therefore, what I'd like to suggest is that if Mora Aveim is a classic mitzvah's essay, then you can discuss, yes, kfiya, no kfiya. It could be a debate, as we see here between the Ma'aram and the Kli Chemda. But if you assume that Mora Aveim is an Isser essay, so then you never have kfiya on an Isser essay. Just like the Pirion Shlomo writes, there's no kfiya on the mitzvah's essay of Shabbason by Shabbos. Questions, comments? Okay. Getting back to the point Josh raised, what about the Minyan HaMitzvos? So we know that Kibud Aveim and Mor Aveim are counted as two separate mitzvos in the Minyan HaMitzvos. The question is why? So if you look at the parish of Rav Yerucham Fishel Perlau in the Sefer HaMitzvos, he writes the following thing. He says, mitzvos kavod u'mitzvos mora ave'eim shtei mitzvos esei hein v'askamos kol rishonim. These are two separate mitzvos. Habal halachas gedolos v'yatav ha-rambam v'kol siyatav. Everybody counted two mitzvos. V'chein mana rabbeinu agon. The Rasag also likewise counted two mitzvos. Valtzarech ian v'zetuva. He doesn't understand. Tzarech ian. Lefi darko, k'moshe nisbar, l'chora nire baro, da overal mitzvah esay demora v'eim, lo'asa v'lo esay demora bilvad hu over. A person who acts disrespectfully to his parents didn't just violate mora, elagam al esay de kavod. He also violated kavod, because if you're disrespectful, so you're not respectful. So it's two in one. The chol shu osa dvarim hamarim l'das, she'en yiras horav alpanov, This is the epitome of bittul kavod, by acting disrespectfully, so you're not acting respectfully. So mameila, if the mitzvah of mora is just not to be disrespectful, so then there's no point in counting it as a separate mitzvah, because it's really v'chal masayim mora. They're really two mitzvahs that are joined into one, and therefore they should only be counted as one mitzvah. And then he writes v'hashda. Then he suggests we can separate it. If a parent is mochel on their kavod, so you don't have to honor them. They're allowed to be mochel. But it could be that mechila doesn't work on mora, right? Calling a parent by a first name, that's a bittul of mora. It could be, even if the parent says it's okay, you can call me by my first name, it's not allowed because it's a bittul of mora. So he highlights the fact that these mitzvot are really separate. And you could have one without the other, and the other without the kavod without mora, mora without kavod, and therefore it warrants to count them as two separate mitzvot. That's what the Rav Perlau argues, that they really are two separate mitzvot, therefore they're counted separately. The Kli Chemda, in the same piece I quoted before, doesn't seem to assume this way. He seems to assume that the two mitzvot are really the same, that they're really connected to such an extent that he's bothered why they're really counted as two mitzvot. In the end, he kind of throws up his hands. If you look at the bottom of the piece, he says, "Kol elo mitzvot meno tam shtei mitzvot." It's true, ever I counted them as two mitzvot. Mikol makom nira shafav vishanim nu shtei mitzvot. Even though they're counted as two separate mitzvot, mikol makom din echad elam. Really, they're really one mitzvot. They're counted two mitzvot, maybe for a technicality, maybe because they're based on two different psukim. But fundamentally, conceptually, they're really one and the same. So I think that this also might be connected to the Chakira, that if the mitzvah of Mora V'Eim is a key mitzvah, so then it makes sense. It's a separate key. There's a mitzvah to honor. There's a mitzvah to revere. So they're two separate concepts, and therefore they should be counted as two separate mitzvahs. Whereas, according to the Kli Chemda, he fundamentally views them as one mitzvah, and two sides of the same coin. And therefore, he doesn't really understand why they're counted separately, but he throws up his hands. He says, look, they are separate, but I'm not really sure why. I see there's a chat here. Let me pull it up. Okay. The Seder, Kol Tuv. The next Nafka Mina that I want to discuss is the question of what the relationship between Kavod and Mora is. If indeed there is a mitzvah of Mora, and it's not just an Isser Esay, but it's a positive requirement, Yesh Lachkar, what is the relationship between Kavod and Mora? So here I actually want to quote both the father and son, the Orach HaShulchan, Rav Chiel Michal from the Vardik, Epstein. Discusses this issue in Orach HaShulchan. Kavod Amora Shein Yonim Hein. Kavod Hu Inyonei Maasim. Kavod is acts. Befoal. Kamo Lachilo Ashkoto. Kiyotze Bezeh. Kamo Sheisbar. Amora Hu Yirat Hamala. Kavod is physical acts. And Mora is reverence of their stature. The Mora Hu Belev. L'chein kol davar ha-masur l'lev never b'yerte l'kecha. The pasuk speaks of yerete l'kecha because it's something in your attitude, in your inner world. V'anavi omar b'fiyem v'sfatam kibduni v'livim rochak b'imani t'yiratam oti mitzvat anashim l'umada k'lomar she'ein ha-yira klum v'chol davar she'ish b'zeh he'eder kavod over al ishim ovitirao kol shkein v'shav v'zeh otam midvarim. So Orach HaShulchan argues that kavod is more physical acts, and Mora, which is also a Kiyum mitzvah, according to him, it's not just an Isser Esay, but it's a Kiyum mitzvah. It's the Kiyum is more Balev, Yerte Melkecha, it's a way in which you relate to your parents. And his son, Rav Baruch Epstein, the author of the Torah Tamima, who was killed in the war in 42, he writes the following. It's actually very similar to his father, but a little bit different. Well, Mora, Mugbal binyanim acherim. Lo omeid velo yoshev mkomo, velo soter velo machriya dvarav, velo yikra lo bishmo. Masha higmel pratim elo lakovod v'elo mora, what's the difference? Yesh lomar, mishum damora bichlal et chelek elokam imal. Ktiva yiretim elokecha, Hashem elokecha tira. L'chein yichaso lomora dvarim ruchaniim v'akovod inanim gashim. So like his father, Rav Aruch Epstein argues that kavod is more physical and mora is more spiritual, more in terms of your attitude. But he actually links this to the chelek elokam imal. When you honor a parent, you're honoring God. Because every person has within them, you know, a spark of God. And the parents, the ones who gave you life. And therefore, you know, on some level, the parents are your link to God. Clearly, both Aruch HaShulchan and the Torah Tumimah are assuming that mora is not just an Isser essay, but it's a Kiyum mitzvah. And they try to define it vis-a-vis the Kiyum of Kavod. Both agree that Kavod is more physical and Mora is more spiritual. The Aruch HaShulchan emphasizes the attitude in terms of reverence. And the Torah Tumimah highlights that that reverence really is connected to your relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because like I said, you know, the parents give you life, and God is the source of life in the world. Therefore, honoring, or rather fearing a parent is essentially fearing a God. So essentially what we saw here, just to summarize, is two basic understandings of the mitzvah of Mora Ve'eim. Is the mitzvah of Mora Ve'eim a regular mitzvah? Just like a mitzvah of Kavod, there's also a mitzvah of Mora. Or is Mora Ve'eim really an Isser essay? Is it really just like the flip side of Kavod? There's a mitzvah of Kavod to actively honor. And Mora is the flip side of being disrespectful, but it's not really a Kiyum mitzvah at all. And then I discussed a couple of nafkaminas to this question. I just want to conclude with the Rambam in Yisoriya Torah. The Rambam speaks about the relationship between Kavod, or rather Avas Hashem, and Yiras Hashem. There's a mitzvah of two positive commandments, to love God, to fear God. So how does a person reach how do you love God? How do you fear God? A person looks at nature. You see the magnificent wisdom that's innate in nature. Right away, a person is going to emotionally connect and feel a sense of love. When a person recognizes the grandeur of the universe, he right away somehow takes a step back. He right away you sense your finite existence. I see there's a chat here. Let's pull it up. The eighth Shoresh of the Rambam, referring to Isser Esther or something else. I don't know offhand. I have to look it up. I'm sorry. But I think it's pretty clear from the Rambam that that the concept of Mora is a Kiyum mitzvah. But I don't really know. I have to look there. Anyway, I just wanted to conclude this idea because Rosalvechik has a very nice essay in Family Redeemed. About 20 years ago, the family started putting out books that were based on manuscripts of Shurim that the Rav gave. And the first one that came out was called Family Redeemed. I have it over here. And in it, there's an essay about Kivud Amora. And there he argues that Mora is a Kiyum mitzvah and that it's a Kiyum Shabalev. He actually highlights the fact that it's not fear of your parents, like, you know, some of the Rishonim sound like you're afraid they're going to hurt you. So he says, that's ridiculous. It's reverence. It's reverence awe. It's not a fear, you know, an infantile fear, Yiras Onesh, but it's more of a Yiras Haromamos, a fear, a sense of awe and reverence. And then he highlights this connection between fearing parents and fearing God. I'll just read you the language. He says, what is the mysterious element involved in the parent-child relationship that engenders a feeling of awe? Parents are, after all, finite beings, as are all humans. Why should they be treated with a reverence which should be due only to the Creator? The answer is implicit in the question, as already been suggested. The moral relationship to a parent must not be torn out of the context of relations to God. There is a secret unity beneath the surface diversity. Relationship and relatedness to a parent hides in its essence man's longing and craving for God. There's a final oneness and one surrender to a parent and God. In fearing the parent, one stands in awe and trembling before God himself, before, the source of his existence. In giving parents respect and reverence, one adores and worships God. So he discusses and develops this idea a little bit more there. It's a worthwhile read. But I think that part of the idea he's highlighting is that really the source of one's life is their parents. So really there are three. There's Shlosha Shultim Ba'adam. And like there's a mitzvah to fear God, one of the shultim, there's also a mitzvah to fear, or to revere, really. It's a question of reverence, one's parent. You know, I think of my mother, Alei Shalom, that certainly comes to mind, a sense of reverence. My aunt, connected to some of my mother's friends just recently. They sent me a recording of their reminiscing. It was very moving to hear people, years later talking about her. And children is one thing, but even friends and acquaintances, it's very, very moving. It was a tremendous chus for me to be her son. Wish only health and happiness and nachas to my father, to my in-laws, and to all the family and all the friends. And thank you very much for joining today.